Grand Slam for Masters!
It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today played 23 years off and on in the NFL. John Carney was an incredible kicker in the National Football League. He would play for eight teams and had a few NFL records to boot. But we're also going to talk about John, about a movie that is coming out on the big screen August 14th called Fatima, a distinct spiritual message that John's family was involved with. We'll talk more about that. But I'd like to welcome John Carney to Blessed to Play. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ron. My pleasure.
It's always interesting to me with kickers in the NFL because not all of them start out being football players. How did you become a kicker? Did it come via the route of soccer?
Absolutely. Soccer was my passion. I grew up in South Florida, and that was athletically anyways, that was my passion. And I went to a high school, Carter Newman High School, phenomenal football program run by Coach Sam Budnick, who's in the Hall of Fame, High School Hall of Fame of Florida. And it was just a rite of passage for the young men at our school to go out for the football programs, which I did. And I found myself kicking and punting a football, and it became a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that, being part of the team and kicking and punting. But did think if I was going to do anything in college, sports-wise, it was going to be with soccer. But Notre Dame came knocking, invited me to join the team as a walk-on, and thought it was a wonderful opportunity, and headed off to South Bend, Indiana, to continue a kicking career.
So talk about your time at South Bend, obviously a storied program. And, you know, for the kicker, it comes down to you to winning a lot of games and also could be come down to losing a lot of games. So when you went from the high school to make that step up to the Division I level and the mental component to kicking, talk about that transition going to Notre Dame.
Well, it certainly is a big step. I think a lot of young high school athletes underestimate the jump between high school and college and certainly Division I college. The amount of attention that Division I football draws, alumni, fans, sports media around the country, maybe around the world. And so it's a big jump, and it takes a while for you to kind of filter that and come to terms with the fact that there's a lot of people paying attention to what you're doing. But, you know, fortunately, as a freshman, I kicked off, so it wasn't a high-pressure situation. I got to watch a fifth-year senior by the name of Mike Johnston kick field goals very well, and I learned a lot from him, watching him and observing what he was doing his fifth year, senior year, my freshman year. So when I did have an opportunity my sophomore year to come into the field goal position, kind of had an idea of what the big picture looked like and what was expected of a Division I place kicker.
Now, all elite athletes, they have their aspirations to make it to the highest level of their respective sports. So when did you kind of see it on the horizon that I want to be in the NFL. I want to give it a shot. When did you realize that your talents were on par with the talent that is in the NFL?
Well, I ironically, it never was a dream of mine to play in the NFL. I was just kind of taking it as it came and enjoying the opportunity and experience at Notre Dame. I had a coach who wasn't even my coach yet. He was a defensive coach. You know, share with my father that his son may have an opportunity to kick on Sundays when he graduated from school. And that was the first I'd heard of that. I was like, wow, that would be, you know, a great opportunity, a great experience, a lot of fun to play in the NFL. So I started trying to look and prepare for that path, which turned out to be a longer path than I expected as far as making it in the NFL. You're aware, I'm sure, every NFL team only carries one kicker, one punter, one long snapper. So you're either a starter or you go home. And so to break into the league on a full-time basis took me over 3 years. So the journey was a little bit longer than I had planned, but there was a lot of silver linings in that journey, a lot of learning, a lot of wisdom collecting that helped me when I finally did secure a job, helped me to make the run a little bit longer.
In fact, when you left Notre Dame, you were part of their all-time team, and then you go into camp with the Cincinnati Bengals, John, and it didn't turn out that great as an undrafted free agent. You were released prior to the regular season and spent a year out of football. So talk about your confidence level at that time, and you really had to dig deep, or your career would not have turned out the way it had.
True. You know, as Brian Adams says, the first cut is the deepest. And so when they knocked on my door at 6 a.m. during training camp at the Cincinnati Bengals and said, "Coach wants to see you with your playbook," came as a shock. You know, I thought, hey, I had a chance to make this Cincinnati Bengal team, and now they're sending me home before preseason's even beginning. So that was a tough pill to swallow. I went back to Notre Dame, got back to some training. I did learn a lot in that first training camp with an NFL team, that there was more work to be done. I needed to be more consistent, stronger, more durable, and not so intimidated by the NFL, intimidated by NFL veteran players. I needed to find a way to get comfortable in that environment and focus on my task at hand and do a better job of it. So it was a great learning experience, a great stepping stone, and continued in that direction.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer, talking with longtime NFL kicker, in fact, 23 years off and on with eight teams, John Carney, a two-time Pro Bowl selection as well. Now, John, you've been with, like I mentioned, eight teams, so there's a lot of ups and downs, and for you, you had a lot of ups, but you had to also deal with those downs. Talk about the mental component. How did you get in the right mindset to deal with the ebb and flow of being a field goal kicker in the NFL?
Well, faith has a lot to do with it, to be honest with you. The majority of the top kickers that I came across and became friends with the NFL in my career all had a strong faith base. Because the highs and lows of professional sports, of the NFL, can be very extreme. And if you don't have a foundation to lean on, to depend on, then that emotional roller coaster is going to burn you out very quickly. Mm-hmm. And so I learned, again, from watching veterans and understanding the length of the season, the pressures of the season, the pressures of the job, from management, from your coaches, from the media, from the fan base. You had to find something to hold on to keep yourself level-headed and really a narrow focus on taking care of your job and not getting distracted by so many outside sources that can set you off your game. And I believe many athletes, it may be ironic, at least what I experienced in the NFL, our faith walk is stronger during the season because we have to have balance and we have to have a foundation to operate at a high level for really 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, indeed. And let's talk about that faith theme here because, you know, there's a saying that says, let go and let God. And if you put in all the work and do the best that you could do and you don't get the results that you want, there's really nothing else that you can do. You could go back to the drawing board, of course. But talk about identity. And I touch on that topic a lot with pro athletes, that when you kicked in the NFL and you're identified by the fans, the public, the media as an NFL kicker, were you able to separate that and say, you know, that's John Carney. He's a kicker, but he's also created as in the image and likeness of God and as a child of God. Did your faith give you that kind of mindset as a pro football kicker?
It did. We can, you know, certainly as men, we can get lost in our identity with our career and our work. And we have to realize that, you know, it's our ability or talent or skill or education to handle that profession, but we're more than that. And, at the end of the day, we are who we are, not necessarily because of our work, but the way we treat people, the way we live our lives, and what we can share with others. And so, I think young players and young people, certainly connect their identity with their workplace and their careers. But, as your career takes turns and evolves. You realize that it's the person you are that matters in the end.
So tell me about some of the big kicks in your career. I mean, 22 years, can you pin it down to one or two that kind of just resonate with you as you reflect on what was a long and prosperous career in the NFL?
Well, I have a few favorites. One happened in a season with the Chargers where we went 1-15. I can't believe that. The one win came in, I think it was week 13. This was the year 2000. Obviously, we were a struggling football team. We were headed on a path to be the first team ever to go 0-16 in the NFL. Of course, years later, the Detroit Lions and the Cleveland Browns accomplished that great feat. But we were headed on a path to be the first. Week 13, we had it's kind of funny. Early in the season, you have a lot of media coverage because everybody's headed to the Super Bowl, you know, in week one and two. And then in week eight or nine, no media is in your locker room. And even the beat writers are taking long lunches and playing golf. There's nothing much to cover except who's going to get fired or traded or cut. But when you're in week 12 and you're 0-12, all of a sudden ESPN shows up and Sporting News, and they got a story that you may be the first group of men to go 0-16. So we unfortunately were drawing a lot of unwanted attention. Week 13, we're playing the Kansas City Chiefs, and we squeaked out a win. At the end of the game, we kicked a 52-yard field goal to secure the victory for our one win of the season. So that was in the locker room, you would have thought we won a playoff game. The guys were, coaches and players were cheering and smoking cigars and just getting happy to have the monkey off our back that we weren't going to go 0-16 and hold on to that dubious record. And then after Hurricane Katrina, when I was with the Saints, the horrible experience of our city and the Gulf South going through Hurricane Katrina, within a week, we were playing a regular season game to open up the season against Carolina in Carolina against a very good Carolina team. And we ended up playing a very good game and winning that game with a field goal at the end from 47 yards. And that was very special for our organization and the Gulf South and people that were really struggling to pick up the pieces after the hurricane. That offered some excitement. And some diversion from everything that the Gulf South is going through. So those are two. Collegiately, I was fortunate to end my career with a short field goal against USC at USC to close out our season. The seniors that I was a part of, we went 4 years never losing to USC. So that was a pretty exciting way to end our college career there at Notre Dame.
Yeah, great results, great meaning, and one of the great moments in sports, in fact, with everything that New Orleans went through with Hurricane Katrina. All right, let's take a break. On the other side, I want to speak to John Carney about what he and his family are involved in, a movie that's offering hope and healing for many in contemporary times. And nowadays, we're going to talk about the new release of the movie Fatima when we return to Blessed to Play. Stay with us.
Looking for a 2020 view on how Catholics are voting in the upcoming election? EWTN News and Real Clear Opinion Research are partnering to bring you clear and concise data on where the nation stands on issues, candidates, policies, and more by surveying Americans, including Catholics like you. And it's available now at EWTNnews.com/poll.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. Ron Meyer joined today by longtime NFL kicker, now retired, 23 years off and on in the NFL, John Carney. He was a two-time Pro Bowl selection. In fact, he was a first-team All-Pro in 1994, is in the New Orleans Saints Hall of Fame, many memorable kicks, played at the University of Notre Dame, and now he and his family are involved with a movie called Fatima that will be released in theaters on August 14th. And John, this is not a new story, obviously. The Catholic Church has promoted Fatima, has approved the apparitions that have gone on there. And some of our listeners may not know this story, but the story is of a 10-year-old shepherd, Lucia Dos Santos, and her two young cousins, Francisco and Jacinta, who reported having received apparitions of the Blessed Mother in Fatima, Portugal. And this was around 1917. And their revelations inspired believers, but it also angered a lot of people, including the Catholic Church and the secular government at the time. So there was a lot of tension between the seers and also those in authority. And then there was a great miracle at the end. But what's interesting about Fatima is that at the time, 1917, there was a great influenza virus that killed millions of people. The world was in unrest because of World War I. So there's some similarities to what we're going through now with the strife in the world and the pain and suffering. But talk about this movie and what does it offer people who would view it?
The main messages that we hope people take away from the movie are faith, hope, and love. And that Mother Mary is watching over us and constantly communicating with the world through apparitions like these three children. Something that I'm it's remarkable when I watch the movie is the courage of the three children that had so many doubters and haters and people coming against them, and they stood their ground. They stood their ground. They would not denounce the fact that they were seeing Mother Mary and receiving messages from her, messages, like you said, prophecies that have all come true. And they stood their ground, amongst everybody involved, the mayor, the village, the Catholic Church, the community. And they were courageous kids, very courageous kids.
Why don't you talk about the miracle itself? What did it do for the people that have received that miracle, who saw this? You know, I don't want to give away the movie. I mean, there's facts that are documented by Fatima, but the cinematography of the movie is excellent. So you need to really watch this to get the full effect. But there was a miracle that took place. What does a miracle do to restore hope in people?
Well, it certainly was proof to those that witnessed it, and there were thousands that witnessed it at that time and now present, that this is real. The spiritual realm is real. That our Lord and our Mother Mary continue to communicate to us, support us, care for us, and guide us to live a better life and to get back on track. The miracle of the sun certainly has been confirmed. And many historical reports, science doesn't have a really good explanation of why it happened, other than people of faith know why it happened.
And what's amazing, in fact, the very people that were in authority that disputed or thought these kids were crazy actually came to believe in the message, which I think proves the authenticity of what was going on in Fatima. But let's talk about how this movie, and, you know, it's interesting that it's coming out now. I mean, it finished production before the coronavirus hit and before there was so much unrest in our nation and in the world. But I think there's some important distinctions here that could be made by watching this movie and then correlating that to giving people great hope and faith to what we're going through right now in contemporary society.
Yes, it's very appropriate now as it was back then, what our world is challenged with right now, with the virus and with unrest. Certainly we have unrest here in our own country, again, a message of faith, hope, and love at this time, bringing people together and not dividing us or bringing us together in love and faith, certainly is a great message and certainly extremely appropriate at this time.
Now, your wife was one of the producers. Maybe you could give us some a little glimpse of what went on backstage. And when you're working on a movie that is spiritual in nature and dealing with, you know, a lot of high prolific actors and actresses, and what was some of her reflections on being part of the production of Fatima?
Well, you know, it's just extremely amazing that that they put this together with the great actors, Harvey Keitel, Sonia Braga, and the children that played the three separate children, Sister Lucia, just to witness that, to watch that unfold, my wife went over with Origin Entertainment, one of the main pillars of getting this movie produced, to experience the filming, all the people of Portugal coming out and supporting the movie and being a part of the filming, thousands, largest production of a movie in the country of Portugal. And she said, you know, it was just something very special on the set, the way things unfolded, the performance of the actors, the performance of Sister Lucia, remarkable. She loved it. She had an opportunity to meet all the three acting children. She actually shared with them and bought them, if you can believe this, their first rosaries, which they were all very thankful for. So it was a very special time, unlike a movie that maybe, you know, produced, filmed, or shot, where there's not a faith component to the movie. This was something different.
Yeah, that's a really neat distinction. And, you know, we talk about, like, a lot of what comes out of Hollywood is not faith-based, but when a faith-based movie is done well, it's not only entertaining, but it draws a specific message, and that's what Fatima does. John, let's talk about your faith. You grew up Catholic. Has it always been, and you went to Notre Dame, you went to a Catholic high school, in fact, but was faith always a significant part of John Carney's life?
It was, Ron. I was fortunate to be raised by Catholic parents, although my mom was a convert, which was fantastic. And we, we didn't miss Mass. Mass on Sunday was expected, whether we were vacationing or not. And I just love my Catholic faith. I was born in Connecticut, and then junior high and high school down in Florida. I was confirmed when I was down in Florida at a church by the name of St. Jude. And fortunate to go to a Catholic high school, which I was at public schools until high school. And so experiencing public school environment, and then going to a Catholic high school, and, you know, we're having a mass before a football game, and we're having a school masses. I just thought that was really special. I loved that we were weaving in our faith and our Catholicism into our academic life in our school. And then fortunate and blessed to go to University of Notre Dame, where it was a continuation of that. Priests coming and blessing us before a football game and having a pregame mass as well. And at Notre Dame, every dorm has a chapel in it. Every dorm has a mass available on the weekend. You can almost every hour during the course of Sunday, you can find a mass somewhere on campus at Notre Dame. And of course, we have the beautiful Basilica Sacred Heart, which is an amazing church. So that was just an amazing blessing and experience to have Catholicism woven into the academic careers that I shared in high school and college.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, we should never take that for granted, you know, having the sacraments readily available. And you mentioned the chapels and the dorms, because right now many people are kept out of churches and are not able to, you know, practice their Catholic faith, at least sacramentally, because of the coronavirus. I wanted to get your take on great kickers and being Catholic. In the NFL, we got Harrison Butker, who's a very dedicated Catholic, and Justin Tucker, and then yourself, John. So what is it? Is it, Is it in the genes, the DNA? If you're Catholic, you have a good chance of being a great kicker in the NFL?
It is. It's the power of the Eucharist. So if you're a kicker, you might want to consider becoming a Catholic. Again, like I said, Catholic, Christian, faith-based, many of the kickers that I became friends with and that I shared NFL careers with did have a strong faith base, and it helps us keep a solid foundation to help us keep grounded. I think it's certainly an element of our success and our ability to keep things in perspective.
Yeah, and it's great to know the story behind the talent, if you will, and a lot of faith-based athletes, some of which you mentioned are kickers and that are Catholic and are really pursuing excellence in their respective sport, this being the NFL. Well, John Carney has been our guest 23 years off and on in the NFL, had some great moments, an All-Pro, and his wife was part of the production of the movie Fatima, which will be coming out next week, August 14th. If you could get to a movie theater, if your state and city lets you go in, go watch Fatima. It's a story of hope and healing and an inspirational message. We could all be inspired, right, John, especially nowadays, and have a little faith going forth during these turbulent times. John, thanks so much for the time. I do appreciate it. And maybe we could do it again sometime right here on Blessed to Play.
Ron, thank you very much. God bless you. I appreciate it.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2play.com. You can like us on Facebook and follow the show right on Twitter at Blessed to Play. For John Carney, I'm Ron Meyer. We'll catch you next time right here on Blessed to Play.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number 2play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.